Welcome to the LSA Simplified Podcast, where we talk about all things LSAT, law school admissions, and otherwise. I'm Ben Parker, and I do LSAT prep and law school admissions full time. If you want to check out all the free ways you can learn LSAT from me or learn more about my paid offerings, you can go to the link tree in the show notes. Hey, folks. So this is going to be a shorter one. I actually have a mild concussion right now. So I know, woe is me, poor Ben. It's one of those things where, I don't know, you know, life goes on. I'm an adult. You don't get to like be, just take life off. You know, it's not like you're a kid. I guess if I was many of my LSAT preppers, I would take a summer off, but you know, that's besides the point. Anyways, today I think we're going to touch on a few things. First of which is that kind of the LSAT will concussed, just the perspective it's given me. For what's worth, I've hosted class and done LSAT sessions. I actually hosted one within like 2 hours after getting the concussion. And I did fine. So I think there's just some perspective to be had in that. We're also going to talk through some Reddit questions very briefly. And then I'm going to go through a personal statement, I think. Yeah. So that is what we got for today. Anyways, let's get into it. So first off is the concussion. Obviously, you guys don't care how I got the concussion, but I played lacrosse when I was a kiddo. Still do, but you know, very much so as an adult, washed up kind of way. And we have Sunday morning lacrosse in a little league I play in. Anyways, I basically got cross-checked in the back of the neck, for those of you that understand lacrosse. And you know, it's not a bad concussion, but I definitely felt it. I was like, oh God, like that. You just feel a little bit less with it. I'd say it's kind of like a lingering, it's not a bad headache, but it's kind of a ever-present headache. And I'll probably have it for like a week or so, and then I'll be fine. I slept a long time, like 9-ish hours straight. The dog actually wasn't able to wake me up, which was surprising because you'd think he would have to go to the bathroom, but he held it. So good for him. Anyways, I've hosted class while I've had the concussion. And it is interesting. You do notice that the questions, I'd say, are subjectively slightly more difficult because I'm not operating at like my full brain capacity. But the big thing I notice is that they're not that much more difficult. It's still the same fundamental skills they're testing. And if you're super familiar with the LSAT, it's not a big deal. So I did a pop-up logical reasoning session, which I've been doing for my October class. We've been doing a few of those. And I had it scheduled on Sunday. I got myself hurt at probably 12:30 Sunday, and then the session was at 2:30. So I got home, showered, and then did it. And I was still able to get every question right that we did. I think we did 11 questions. There was one question that I was like unsure on, like a question 23 or 24. But even still, I still got it right. So I guess the takeaway there is that if you get good enough at this test, kind of the external things don't matter, and that you really shouldn't melt down. Because like, well, this kind of brings me to another point of, unfortunately, I'm running into some unreliable narrators as far as people I'm working with. In terms of LSAT preppers and admissions help people, it's one of those unfortunate things where they tell you their scores. And ultimately, I just take people at their word, which I'm now learning is kind of a mistake, because I've had some people that have told me they're like PTing in the high 160s. And then they email you, they're like, I got a 140. I'm like, what possibly could have happened to where you would drop 30 points? That is insane. A high 160 is like, you're not really missing any questions. 140 is like, you're missing all the questions. So I think the takeaway, and maybe this is a little bit of concussion brain, and I'm not able to like properly form the sentences with my mouth. But anyways, the point I'm trying to make is that if you're good enough at the test, these external things don't really matter. And I'm just seeing that myself because I'm concussed, and you guys probably can tell, like, I don't think maybe I sound the same. I don't know. I feel less intelligent right now, but one of the things, if you're good enough at the test, these external things kind of don't matter. So I would really stop focusing on that. Well, not terribly useful advice. So with that, let's do a few Reddit questions. Rapid fire. So this first one is it still possible to be competitive this application cycle? I'm reading this. It is October 8th, a Tuesday. They say timeline recommendations, ? Well, let's see what's up with them. They say, due to a number of reasons I won't get into here, I've started the law school application cycle pretty late. Good news for you, the reasons don't matter. But the bad news for you is that the reasons don't matter. Your reasons do not make you an exception to the rules of rolling admissions. And hence, I doubt that this will make sense for you. They continue. I want to know if based on my background, I could still be competitive for this application cycle. Well, background is not what makes you competitive. It's your LSAT score and your GPA. So let's see what they say. So info, undergrad majors, computer science and microbiology, don't care. undergrad GPA, 2.857. That's not good. That's going to really hurt you. LSAT score 160. Okay, that's not terrible. I mean, it's not good though with a 2.8. So I'd want to get a higher score. They say they admittedly did not study much for it. So you got to get a higher score. Work experience, they say 2 years of work experience at a consultant firm. And then they worked on multiple projects in the life sciences / healthcare regulatory area. I mean, it's a nice baby fact. Is it worth one LSAT point? No. Volunteer / extracurriculars after college, completed multiple pro bono projects, both health equity related and otherwise. Volunteer for youth sports nonprofit. That's fine. Nothing's going to set you apart there. And then why law school? I'm interested in going into law for the med tech / health tech regulatory field. I'm currently pretty interested in patent law surrounding emerging technologies, stuff like next gen therapies, that sort of thing. I'm mainly looking at programs that will allow for a JD / MS, don't know what that is, or JD / MPH, which is a master's of public health. Dual degree right now, but obviously open to just JD programs. Well, I guess my immediate question is, why are you trying to do masters if you don't need them? It's kind of a waste of your time and money to do them if you want to practice law. Do you want to practice law? If so, get a JD. If you don't, get a master's. Or I mean, not get a master's, but then you might consider getting a master's. But these whole JD / master's programs, I always wonder, like, why are you doing both? None of these like jobs require both. So do one and do it well. I don't know. I think better to be really good at one thing than to focus on trying to do all these things half well. And I am yet to really see the argument for JD / master's programs. So yeah, anyways, my plan right now is to take either the GRE by end of November or the LSAT in January. Why are we talking GRE or LSAT? For one, the GRE does not wipe your LSAT score. If you're applying your GRE score, you still have to submit your LSAT score. So taking the GRE does not get you a pass on your 160. The 160 is still part of your application. And then further, why are you even thinking about the GRE in general? Are you better at it? If so, I don't know, you could take it, but you're still going to need to, like, if you don't get the, I don't see the point. Because if you score higher on the GRE, it won't help you because they still have to consider your LSAT score for the rankings. And if you score lower on the GRE, it'll hurt you. So the only thing it will do is if you score the same, at which point, why'd you even bother with it? Like, why not just take the LSAT? So yeah, I don't think the GRE makes any sense. They say they have letters of rec. That's good. I currently have a very light workload, so I feel like if I spent most of the workday studying, I can get my score competitive enough to submit applications by November, December. Well, no, because you can't take the LSAT until November, and that's assuming you're registered. If not November, then you have to take January. So I fear that you are far too far behind. How good of a score would I need to make up for my undergrad GPA? It depends on the school you want to go to. Harvard, it literally doesn't matter. You're shut out. You're not going to Harvard. A more like UCLA, I don't know, maybe a 178 will get it done. It's going to be so school dependent that it's really hard to say. Like, are you going to get into law school? Yeah, you will. Are you going to get into like the T14? No, absolutely not. So it just depends on where you are. With like a 170 something, could you potentially get in? Maybe. So yeah, I don't know if that's the best info. Once again, concussed. Question dose, test center or remote? So this is basically asking, should I take the LSAT in person or should I take it not in person? I always say take it at home because it's easier, but this is really a personal preference thing. If you want to take it in person, knock yourself out. But typically, it doesn't go well. It usually goes worse. I find a lot of people take it in person because they think it'll be different than at home. But the real issue is not that at home is bad, it's that they suck at the test. And they're trying to find these things to change that will make it better. And if I go take it in person, I'll get all amped up for test day, when in reality, someone's just bad at the LSAT. So I don't know. If you want to take it in person, sure. I would make sure you have a really good reason for it. It is not easier. The proctors are worse in person as a general rule than the remote proctors. They are more up in your business. You are actually around other test takers that can make noise and be annoying. So if you want to control your environment and have quiet and peace of mind, taking it at home makes the most sense. If your at home is not a quiet and peaceful environment, talk to your family, set boundaries, talk to your roommates. Like, I don't know. I can tell you that taking it at ProMetric and expecting it to be a smooth experience is a false expectation. They're saying, I had issues with October and was unable to finish. I'm debating on taking it in person, but want to hear other people's experiences. Yeah. So obviously there can be remote issues. This person sounds like they had some, but in general, the remote issues are less than the in-person issues. So yes, are there people that have horror stories, but this is like, this would be an LSAT flaw. It's like, because I had the remote thing go worse. Jeez, I can't even make sentences. Maybe I am more concussed than I think I am. Anyways, What I was saying is that just because you had a bad experience remote doesn't mean that remote is worse than a test center. You have a sample of one versus a sample of zero. So that's not enough to make conclusive statements off of. And I will tell you, as someone who sees a big sample, that the remote test takers tend to have a more smooth experience overall. Are there people that are remote and have a meltdown? Yes, of course there are. Speaking of which, actually gets me to an inst I mean, total tangent, but I made an Instagram post pretty recently about why NYU Law School is not the best value, in my opinion. And it's not so much a critique at NYU, but rather it's saying, hey, Fordham gets basically the same outcomes, but for what's the word? Why am I blanking? Oh, for lower prices, because you can get scholarship or you can pay less tuition. Jesus, maybe I am concussed. Anyways, the point is that one of these slides said that LSAT and GPA tend to correlate with law school performance. And someone commented, like, this is such bullshit. LSAT and GPA don't necessarily correlate. I'm like, yeah, dummy, because correlate is not the same thing as necessarily correlates. Necessarily correlates means 100% of the time. Correlates means they tend to. And guess what? GPA and LSAT do tend to correlate with law school performance. So I just deleted her comment because that was a stupid comment. And like, I'm not, this is a pro life pro tip. Don't argue with people that don't understand English words because it's not a battle you can win. And when they say, like, when they don't understand that there's exceptions to something called a correlation, it's like, this is not a conversation worth having. Okay, well, I feel very mentally fried. That didn't make any, well, maybe it didn't make sense. I don't know. The point is, it was a stupid comment. It's not what I said. People love to attack me, or not me, people in general on thing. Why can't I talk? They tend to attack you on things that you didn't say, but correcting them is not actually worthwhile because they tend to just shift the goalpost. I just deleted it, blocked her, and moved on. Which I'm pretty quick to use the block button on Instagram for what it's worth, because I actually get a lot of attacks, and because of that, partly because I don't really operate in kind of like the whole law school industrial complex, which I've been thinking about going into that. That's the whole like, oh, law school is always a good decision and you should always pay money. It's an investment in your future, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I don't buy into it. I think law school is a tool. If it's good for your career, that's great. If it's not, that's great. But some companies are straight up not going to tell you about whether or not law school makes sense for you. Like, I really think you should ask yourself, does this make sense for you? And you know who you're never going to hear that from? The law schools. They're never going to ask you, is law school right for you? They just assume that it is, and they will take your money. They don't care. They know that a bunch of you aren't going to practice law. I actually care. And maybe concussed Ben is just like drunk Ben, and I don't drink for what it's worth, but you'll just get like the unfiltered version. But it's actually really gross. And I've been thinking about doing a reaction video because one of the big consulting companies put out something about for parents, like, oh, here's a parent admissions clip. And it was terrible. Like, because, well, I was thinking about what would I put out if I was going to inform parents about law school admissions. I would be like, well, first off, I would talk salaries. Do you understand how much your kiddos are actually going to make when they practice law? Because that's a real thing. A lot of people have these very delusional ideas of how much lawyers make. And it's fine to want to be a lawyer. There's nothing wrong with that. But to go in expecting to make 225K out of like podunk state law school is delusional. And too many people have those delusions. Further, what else would I talk about? Oh, scholarships. The fact that scholarships are fucking wild for law school and people are not paying full price. Like, they didn't mention that at all. It's like, how did you not mention that? How did you not mention that schools give out scholarship like it's candy? And so I don't know. Instead, they were talking about like how to support your child, all this nonsense. And it was like, you guys have missed over like the big thing. The whole point of paying a consultant or a person for help is that they're going to help you see this better. And in reality, they're just perpetuating the lie of what people think law school admissions is. As the non-law school admissions person, but they know it's not that. They know law school has incredibly high dissatisfaction rates. And our job is to like communicate that to you guys. And then you guys, what you do with that is up to you. If you decide that you still want to go to law school, the blood is off my hands. If you end up hating your career or spending way too much money, I think that's going to be a lot of you if you go to law school. But also, it's your call. If that's for you, knock yourself out. Anyways, let's just do the personal statement, then we'll call it a day because I am feeling it. And we're feeling it fine today. Okay, so here's a personal statement. Let's read it. Whatever. Not whatever, just a headache. And by headache, I don't mean this personal statement. I mean my headache because I'm not here. Anyways, they start and they say, there were a few times in my life where I felt both empowered and overwhelmed by the weight of the world. Do not want to see you empowered. Well, I do want to see you empowered, but I don't want to see you being feeling empowered. I want to see you being empowered and doing shit. I don't care how you felt. I felt is a great word or phrase that you can just cut from your personal statements. I don't care how you feel. I care what you did. I also don't care about you being overwhelmed. That's a fact against you. They continue. One of them was when I portrayed the character of Jen in the play, quote, Man of God, and that's underlined. It shouldn't be underlined. It should be quoted or italics. I don't know. By Anna Liang Munch. Don't care who wrote it. Cut that. I do not need Anna Liang Munch. And I also don't want to see you as a kiddo in like theater class. I want to see you as an adult. They continue. Jen was a 16-year-old girl fighting against injustice at the hands of a respected elder, pastor, to which it forced me to confront some very uncomfortable truths about power dynamics and moral authority in the society. Now I'm like picturing you in like 10th grade English class talking about the themes of some play. That's not how I want to picture you. You're some kiddo in a play. Like, that's not lawyer shit. Like, this is not someone I would want to admit to law school based on this. Like, it's nice and all, but this is not points in your favor. This is you being like a theater kid, which, okay, sure. In that role, I found myself not just as an actress voicing the voiceless, but in humanizing a teenager who experienced deep injustice. I'm like, but what even is this injustice? This is so abstract. Yeah, I don't like this story. Through Jen's story, I had a renewed sense of purpose that shaped my passion for the law. Nope, don't care about your passion for the law. I want to see you doing things. You guys do not have to convince the law schools that you're passionate for the law. They want to admit you and take your money. They're such cynical institutions. They want your money. You do not have to convince them that you want to go to law school. You just have to convince them that you will kick ass. They want to see you kick ass. And this is not kicking ass. This is you being a like high school theater kid, which not exactly a first round draft pick in terms of the people we're collecting for our law school. They continue. I auditioned for Man of God in winter of 2024. I do not care about you auditioning. I just want to see you kick ass. The storyline involved, and I also do not want this like spark notes of the play. I do not care what the storyline of the play is. Just cut all of this. The storyline involved four high school girls being a part of their local church's mission trip. Sorry, local church's mission trip to Thailand, all there for different reasons. Do not care. Cut, cut, cut. Suddenly, it's revealed that their own pastor had hidden a camera in their bathroom. Gross. Also, I do not care about the plot. The play follows the girl as they all both fuel each other's violent daydreams of how to confront their pastor and bond over shared experiences with a male gaze. Cool. Don't care. Cut it all. The storyline itself had appealed to me in a way that truly satiated my yearning for a play that truly spoke to me. Well, you say it had appealed to you and then that it truly spoke to you, so that's redundant. Further, I don't care that it appealed to you. I want to see you doing things. So cut all that. Not that there was anything wrong with auditioning for another play that was doing another version of Chekhov or Shakespeare, but this play had made its marks with its intricacy of moral dilemmas and the silences that overshadow it. Like, yeah, that's fine, but this is nothing about you. This is about like the play. And we are not like determining whether or not they get a Tony. We are determining whether or not you go to law school. And this is not advocating for yourself. They continue. During the audition, I performed the heart-wrenching monologue of an unknown character. I'm like, well, you are saying it was heart-wrenching. Does your like the people judging you think that? I don't know if I would. I wouldn't add adjectives about my own performance. That's like if I said I performed the best podcast and I put that in my law school application. So it would be kind of cringe because it's like, did you though? Like, that's not really up to you to decide. Anyways, and this one is definitely not the best. I feel like I'm just kind of filling space at this point. But are my loyal listeners, all a couple hundred of you, I'm sure, are hanging on every word. Anyways, you performed the heart-wrenching monologue of an unknown character reminiscing about how the happy memory of receiving her driving license in high school was tainted due to being catcalled. I'm like, once again, I get it. It's like about women's rights and whatnot, but that's not the point. The point is, who are you and why are you going to kick ass? And you being in a play is not kicking ass. They continue. I was then cast as the role of Jen. Cool, don't care. Each day that I spent practicing Jen's lines, I only became more touched with her struggles with facing the pastor. I'm like, what even is this like a high school production? Is this like adult theater? What even is this? I don't know. This is not how I want to picture you. This is not kicking ass. This is like pretty, and I feel like we're really trying to make the attempt here of like, oh, therefore women's rights, and therefore I'm called to law school. I don't know. I don't think it's gonna work, but let's read on. It was through here. She exposed the emotional and social barriers that lock out many in their search for justice. I'm like, once again, don't care about Jen. I care about you. This is not about you. This is about Jen. The next, like, whole paragraph is just about Jen. So the next, well, let's just cut to the next time they talk about themselves. This character bond influenced me to delve into the details of the legal system and its important function to protect the rights of people. Yeah, what did you do? Were you like reading Wikipedia articles, or did you actually do something? Let's see what you said. It was here I began to understand that the law isn't just a system of rules, but it is also a structure for advocacy and reform. Not really. The law really is just a system of rules. If you think that going to law school is going to let you change the system, like, I root for you, but that is not what I tend to see. It really is. You learn to play the system and you learn to be a part of it. So I don't know. I think this might give off like a little DeLulu vibes to law schools of like this person doesn't really understand what they're getting into. And for what's worth, you could. I have no idea. I don't know this person very well. I'm just saying what I'm getting here is that this is a theater kid who like cares about women's rights, which is great and all, but this is not like, oh, therefore we need her at our law school. They continue. After the theater production had ended, and you can just say ended, had is not necessary there. I jumped headfirst into community work in my college town, on the lookout for ways to advocate like those for those who, like Jen, are met with impossible barriers. I've cut impossible barriers. Impossible barriers don't exist. So, I mean, that's very LSAT brain of me, but that is a word that you cannot justify. Barriers, if they were impossible, would be like death. And, you know, I imagine that these barriers, while tough, are not impossible. So, nitpicky thing, but I would cut nonetheless. For what it's worth, your readers are probably not going to be as critical as I am in that regard. I mean, they are critical. Don't get me wrong. They are not on your team. But they aren't going to be as critical in terms of like LSAT stuff like that is. Anyways, I don't care about Jen. This whole metaphor, cut it. Just talk about what you did. I don't need you to like talk about how Jen like inspired you. She's fictional. She's not real. This play isn't real. Like I don't know. It's just not making the point you think it is. I then pursued my court watch internship with the People's Vanguard of Davis, where I was a journalist that helped people navigate the injustices faced in the legal system. That's better. Talk more about that. With every interaction, I further cemented the drive. Don't say that. Don't say you further cemented the drive. Say what you did. I don't care about you cementing the drive. I care about what you actually did. And I have no idea what you did as a journalist. Because it's so abstract at this point, I might just think this is some nonsense internship you did. So you have to give the reader details about what you've done. But when you say, I further cement the drive, that can, which can be asserted without evidence, can be rejected without evidence. I don't believe you because you haven't given me any reasons to believe you. So you have to give those reasons. And this is like a forced metaphor and a lack of reasons. And it's just like, this is not someone who I'm admitting to my law school if they submit this essay. Let's continue though. I further cemented the drive to ensure that stories of injustice are not only heard but also acted upon. What do you mean by, oh, you further cemented the drive? So that's how you feel? I don't care how you feel. I want to see what you did. And this isn't what you did. This is how you feel. Stop talking about how you guys feel in your personal statements. Start writing about what you did. Later, this internship allowed me to bring it light. Bring to light a case where several law enforcement officers were charged with bribery and conspiracy and atoning scheme. Talk about that. Talk about holding these people accountable. Seeing the work I've done motivated me. Don't talk about what motivated you. Stop it. Talk about what you did. I don't care about how you feel about the work that you did. I care about what the work was. You guys got to cut everything about how you feel. How you feel doesn't matter. Law schools don't care how you feel. They don't care how you view the world. They don't care how you're motivated. They care what did you do. And this is all just how you feel. And it's like, I don't care how you feel. Sorry. Concussion Ben is angry Ben. I don't know. I feel like this person hasn't heard any of my advice in the past. Otherwise, they wouldn't have written this. And you know, hopefully, I hope you guys know I'm not a jerk when it comes to this. It's just like, this isn't a good person statement. And anyways, let's continue. Seeing the work I have done motivated me to be a legal advocate who can bring legal theory with the lived experience of those in need. Well, weren't you a journalist? Let's not oversell ourselves here. You're not a lawyer, so let's not pretend like we are. I took to heart, I don't care what you took to heart, I care what you did. I took to heart from these experiences, the key to advocacy is understanding the law as much as having the sole purpose of your cause to be compassionate with people. Jesus, cut that. Yeah, we got to learn more about what you've done. And then they have a conclusion. It is because of my experiences that I would like to put my passion for justice here to Redacted Law School, T14 for what it's worth. I want to be able to raise a strong voice in the pursuit of justice for the wronged through rigorous legal education and an encouraging environment. This goes on, but it's, you know, more of the kind of generic trite stuff. They do a call back to Jen. I would rewrite this entirely. The Jen metaphor doesn't work. It's forced. It doesn't. I mean, what would I focus? I would focus on what you did in this court watch internship. That should be able to fill 2 pages. If it doesn't, or if you can't, that's a problem. So yeah, I mean, I would start over. I don't think this is going to help you. Also, for what it's worth, your guys' personal statements, not as good as you think they are. A lot of folks are going to tell you they're fine. They don't know what they're looking for. But fundamentally, the big thing to ask is it about what you've done? If it's not, that's a problem. Forcing metaphors, talking about how you feel, is just not going to get it done. Okay, cool. Well, the plan, I mean, this is Tuesday. I got my concussion on Sunday. So when will I be mentally recovered? I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully soon. I should be back to the Monday posting schedule. I just got off that because, you know, got bumped in the head and whatnot. Anyways, if you need anything, shoot me an email, all that good stuff, blah, blah, blah. See you next time. If you got value from what we talked about today, the best thing you can do for me is to leave a review or a rating. It doesn't cost you anything other than 2 seconds, and it really does help me out and help me reach more people. Additionally, if you have a question or anything you want talked about in the world of LSAT or law school admissions, you can email Ben at lsasimplified.com to get your question or piece of information on the agenda. I also take various application components, whether they be personal statements, diversity statements, et cetera. So if you want my free feedback, I do those anonymously for you. Additionally, I'm always happy to expand my thoughts on something or consider other perspectives. So if you have something that you want further clarification on or you disagree with me about, I'm open to hearing it. I will add that typically I'm not going to change my mind because I tend to think about these things pretty deeply before I put them out there, but I will at least hear you out. All right, cool. That's all we have for today. So I will see you all next time.